Thank God. I'll get started on some of them old songs. I don't know. Hallelujah. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 19 and 9. Amen. Deuteronomy 19 and 9. We were talking in the prayer room for just a minute how that we must abide in the vine. You know, to abide in the vine means to live in the vine. You live in it. Paul said, in Christ I live and have my being. It's all about Christ. And it's amazing. He said, without me, you can do nothing. But then you read on, it says, with me, nothing shall be impossible. Wow, that lets us know, brother, we need him. Every day, every hour, every situation, no matter what you're going through, you can't change some things, but he can. But he can. Deuteronomy 19 and 9, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God and to walk ever in his ways, then shalt thou add 3 cities more for thee beside these 3. The innocent blood be not shed in thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee. But if any man hate his neighbor and lie in wait for him, set him up, and rise up against him and smite him mortally that he die and fleeth into one of these cities that I'm going to give you as a city of refuge, then the elders of his city shall send and fetch him thence and deliver him into the hand of the avenger of blood that he may die. I'm here to tell somebody immediately, God will avenge you of all your adversaries. I'm telling you, it's hard not to avenge yourself. I promise you, I know the feeling. But I am here to tell you, if you'll be patient, God will avenge you of all your adversaries. 2 Corinthians 2 and 6, sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many. Paul is talking about someone who's done wrong in the church, and they've suffered their punishment, and it was sufficient. They paid their penalty. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave anything to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ. If you forgive them, I forgive them. They don't need to tell me that. I just forgive them if you've forgiven them. Lest, I better do this, lest should Satan should get an advantage on us. I better forgive people lest Satan get one up on me. For we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. I want to talk for a little while about unfair advantages. Unfair advantages. Lord, I'm thankful for your spirit this morning. Oh, God, I'm thankful that you are exalted. As Brother Valentine was teaching and preaching this morning, you are exalted in our lives. Every day, God, I want to lift your name up in praise. Every situation, God, I want to know and believe that you're able to conquer. For Lord, you're in me, the hope of glory. And we are more than conquerors through Christ who died and shed his blood for us. Teach somebody this morning that God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that they could even ask or think, and that your word, God, is a discerner of their thoughts and the intents of their heart. Be with us this morning as we teach and study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory, glory, glory. God bless you. You may be seated. Unfair advantages. There's nothing wrong with favorable opportunities that benefit you to advance and to reach your desired goal. There's nothing wrong with that. As long as you're not taking unfair advantage of somebody else or something else as you propel your own agenda to where you want to be in life, where you want to be in the situation. You want their job. You want their whatever. Unfair advantage is to advance oneself at the expense of somebody else. You paid the way for their road to get where, and they really don't have the time of day for you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They don't have the time of day for you, but they're going to use you to get where they want to be. Or sometimes they just want to drag you down because that's the direction they're headed. But I've learned a long time ago, tearing people down won't lift you up. The more you tear people down, the further down you go too. And so we live in a world today that's, it's like a bunch of crabs in a bucket. You ever seen crabs in a bucket? None of them getting out. No. There's no crab. You put them in a bucket, you don't have to worry about it because they're going to keep pulling each other down. They're not going to lift each other up. Oh, no, baby, you ain't getting out if I don't get out. No, you either. And they're like crab. This world is like crab. They just keep pulling you back. They don't ever want to help you. It's all about me. And they have their own agenda, but they will use you up. And so they will take unfair advantage of you in every situation that you will let them have. They'll get the edge on you any way they can. I'm telling you, I'm sick of pro sports. I really am. Because they're going to take steroids. They're going to do something to enhance something so that they can get the edge or the advantage over somebody else. There's been some of them's names being yanked out of the record books, and there's probably more that should be yanked out of it. What's wrong with just being who you are and playing as good and as hard as you can? Why do you have to take unfair advantage of other people? Paul talks about this in the Bible, and he talks about taking care of the fatherless and the widows. He said, because the reason is it's easy to take unfair advantage of widows and fatherless. It's real easy. And you can hoodwink a lady that don't know anything about a car. You drive into the filling station. That's where that old saying came from. Drive into the filling station. They'd be checking, you know, they used to pump your gas. You know, they'd pump you. Boy, it's been a while since I knew things has changed when I saw the chauffeur pumping gas one day. I said, we'll see how long this will last. And I saw chauffeurs pumping gas. So if everybody's got to do it, you got to do it. But during the day, I said, also check the battery, check the filter, check the oil. And if they could, I'm telling you, I'm not saying we're all that way, but they'd say, ma'am, this battery's about to die, you know. And they didn't know a clue about a battery in a car. And they just, all they were thinking about being stranded. You know, this transmission may not last long, much longer. We see metal in the bottom of the pan. And they'll take unfair advantage of your lack of knowledge of the situation. Which lets us know the key to someone taking advantage of you is the lack of your knowledge. So that's why he said you are not ignorant to Satan's devices, so that the more you know about Christ, the less you're going to get fooled by the world. Amen. Or even somebody else. The Bible says they crept in unaware, taking advantage of you and tell you great swelling things. And really what you are is merchandise to them. My. And so the more we know about God and the things of God, the less somebody can hoodwink you about something you're trying to believe God for. And when we read the book of Moses and the law, it explicitly prohibited anyone from taking unfair advantage of somebody else. I mean, I don't know if you remember, I'm going way back. You remember they used to cut the meat and put it on the scales? How many of you remember that? The butcher would cut the meat and put it on the scales. And you'd say, you sure it weighs that much? Are you sure that? Yeah, they'd take that paper. That paper, I mean, this is what they did. They'd lay that paper out, and when you weren't looking, they'd pull that paper down on the other side of the counter. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. And they pull it down so you'd get to charge you more. And so Moses said, when you get a set of scales, don't you dare. They better be balanced scales. They better be right scales. Don't you hoodwink nobody. Don't you take unfair advantage of anybody. I mean, I'm telling you, God hates somebody that takes unfair advantage of somebody else. And so on a more serious note, though, that, you know, Moses was instigating the law, and there was always perpetrators of the law, and sometimes innocent perpetrators of the law, and sometimes accidents would happen. And so they built these cities of refuge, and they had three cities that if a man was a perpetrator, and maybe it was an accident, and there was a blood avenger that was going to come get him. I mean, if it was an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth, and a life for a life. So if you hit me, I'm hitting you. But even if it was an eye, I didn't mean it. It doesn't matter. Boom. But so he set up these cities so that if you violated somebody, you could go to this city of refuge and wait for your day to come. Sometimes jail is the safest place to be. Because if the wrong person gets a hold of you, You might wish you was in jail. You'll check yourself into jail. And so they would flee to this city. But Moses let it be known, I got zero tolerance. And God said, there is zero tolerance for people that take advantage of others and shed their blood innocently. He says, so that if a man hates his neighbor, that's one thing. But if he lies in wait and wounds him mortally such that he dies, that's another thing. And if he runs into one of these cities of refuge that I set up for the right reasons and he runs there for the wrong reasons, he said, when the letters come from his city, you send them to that city of refuge and they'll bring that dude to the gate and slay him at the gate. Because we are not going to allow anybody to be one up on you and take unfair advantage of you. I don't mind people using me, but I don't like to be abused. Praise the Lord. The avenger of blood in the Old Testament was usually some family member that was trying to get even with someone that violated someone in their family. And such was the case. You remember the story of Simeon and Levi. They had a sister who was the daughter of Jacob and Leah. And the Bible says that Dinah decided to go out and see the daughters of the world or the daughters of the land. Yeah, this was this one of the circumcised, one of God's people decided, I'm going to go into the world and check this out. Well, guess what? They were checking her out. That's the problem with messing with the world. You think you're checking them out, but they're checking you out. And what happened was Shechem took her and lay with her and violated her. Now here's Jacob in the field. He gets word that this has happened, but the Bible says he just held his peace till he come. And so here comes Hamor, the father of Shechem, says, hey, guess what? I got good news. It wasn't good for Jacob. He said, my son wants to marry your daughter. My son wants to have your daughter to wife. Please give her. And Jacob is like, you violated my daughter. What are you talking about? But these two brothers, Levi and Simeon, heard the story. And brother, you talk about take unfair advantage. The Bible says they dealt deceitful with the men of Shechem. They said, oh, you want my sister? No problem. But in order to have one of us, you must be circumcised, and all the men of your city. Not just you, all the men of the city. Anyone that goes in and out of the gate's got to be circumcised. Well, okay, I guess that's what we're going to do. Now, these are grown men. This ain't 8-day-old infants. These are grown men getting circumcised. And brother, the Bible says, my brother, he said on the third day, they went in and slew the city. Because those men were sore and could not fight. Taking unfair advantage. When word got back to Jacob what they had done, he was distraught. That's not how you handle this. It's all right to handle it, but don't take unfair advantage of people. I'm afraid now the Philistines will come against me and the other ones will come against me. When they hear how y'all did this, this is wrong, my brethren. And he goes to his grave. You read it. He goes to his grave where he calls his sons together and says, I never forgot the day you did that and embarrassed your old man. I'm here to tell anybody, don't take unfair advantage. But I am here to tell you the enemy comes, but he seeks to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He will take unfair advantage of you anytime and every time that he can. I will tell you when you're most vulnerable, when you're in transition. There's people in this, under the sound of my voice, that's in transition. It's when this isn't quite that. You were here and you're trying to get there, but the stretch between here and there is called the wilderness. And it's a time of transition where you're vulnerable. And you can be used and misused at this time. When the children of Israel had been in Egypt bondage for 400 years, Amalek never bothered them. Never bothered them. But as soon as they got out and decided, praise God, we're headed to the promised land. The Lord hath sunk the rider and his horses. Oh, thank the Lord. And Miriam's a shouting and there they're going. But as soon as they got out there in a dry and a thirsty land, they came out of a rock. But the Bible says, and then came the men of Amalek, the Amalekites. Right when they were in this transition of trying to reach the promise, as long as you stay in bondage, some people leave you alone. They'll let you sit on the bar stool. You can do whatever you want, do your drugs or whatever you want to do. But as soon as you decide, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to get my life, you'll start finding enemies you didn't even know you had. If you'd have stayed in the world, they'd have left you alone. But when you decide to live for God, up they come. And so now they find themselves having to fight an enemy they didn't even know they had as they head toward the promised land. These Amalekites were taking unfair advantage. These men were not warriors, they were slaves. All they knew was bricks and mortar and hay and stubble and build and whips and pyramids. And they didn't know how to fight with the sword. And here they come. Moses said, oh God, what are we going to do? They're thinking about stoning me out here. He said, and the Lord said, tell Joshua to go out and find certain men to fight with him in the valley. And so he picks out certain men. And Moses said, Joshua, you go in the valley and fight, and I'll go on the mountaintop and take the rod of God with me. And Aaron and Hur, you know the story, goes with Moses. And he would lift up the rod. And as long as Moses' hands were lifted up high, the Bible says Joshua prevailed. But it's hard to stay on a high. There's a lot of people get high, but it's hard to stay on a high. And so as it would come down, it said Amalek would prevail. And Joshua would prevail. And they would win. But when it go down, they were driven back. And finally, the Bible says that the ones, when you read it, let me see if I got it right here, because this is good. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put them under him. Now, I want you to notice here, it wasn't Moses that was tired. It was the ones holding him up that got tired. Because as long as someone's holding this up, you're not tired. It's when they get tired, then they can't hold you up anymore. So they said, sit him down. Here's a stone. And they put a stone underneath him. Now, I thank God for the rock. Hallelujah. I thank God for something solid. I thank God that when I'm weak, he's still strong. And they put a rock underneath it. Now we're talking. And he held his arms up till the Bible says that Joshua discomfited the enemy. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that the war was not won by the warfare of Joshua. It was won by the intercession of Moses. They didn't know how to fight. I'm here to tell you, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Bible says the Lord will lift up a standard against him. God's not going to let people take unfair advantage of you for very long. Hallelujah. Thank God. When we look at all the miracles in the Bible, I noticed something. Brother Jake, I just noticed this. After all these years, I just noticed this. I mean, there may be one I'm missing here, but when you look at all the miracles of the Bible, it was about one thing. See, when we come up, pray for my diabetes, pray for my leprosy, pray for my, I'm having some struggle at work, I'm having this, and my kids and my, one thing. One thing. Think about it. All the things in the Bible, and he said, what wilt thou have me to do? Well, let's see, God, I'd like, no, one thing. One thing that I might see, that I might not have leprosy. One thing. And so I got to thinking about this. What wilt thou have me to do? And Lord, I'm afraid we give God too big a laundry list. Lord, give him one thing. Hallelujah. Give him one thing and let's conquer this one thing. Because if you can conquer the one thing, then we can conquer another thing. But do it one thing at a time. Hallelujah. What will you have me to do? And he made them whole. and he made them complete. And I've noticed before, Brother Dennis, come see. Let me. Now I know I'm stronger than you and I won't hurt you, but if you will, hold me right here. See, hold me tight. Hold me tight. No, don't you hold me tight. Pull me back. You can pull me back. You see, now, you see, well, you just keep holding me there. That's all right. I got this. That's all right. I got this. Praise the Lord. I got this. I got everything. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. But I'm not free. He's got me by one thing. And if I could ever get loose of the one thing, I'd be made whole. Hallelujah. I'm trying to help you. There you go. One thing. And we shout about what we're loose on. That's good. That's great. But let me tell you, you're not going anywhere. You'll never go anywhere till you get rid of the one thing. And we need to concentrate on one thing. How many of you ever got orange juice concentrate? Huh? You ever got orange juice, went in the store and said, orange juice concentrate? Well, if you mix other things with it, you get punch. And that's what happens. You start mixing other things in something you need to concentrate on, you just get the punch. That's all you get. You need to concentrate on one thing. I need deliverance in this one area. And if I could get deliverance in this one area, then I'd be free. Oh, I'd be really free then. I could run my race with patience that is set before me. Nothing could stop me. I could leap over a wall, chase down a troop, but I can't do anything as long as he's got me by one thing. And I'm here to tell you, concentrate, every one of you, concentrate on one thing. One thing. Hallelujah. If you try to play too many instruments at one time, you never learn how to play any of them. Concentrate on one thing. Hallelujah. As they come this morning, Satan is looking to take unfair advantage of your situation. Let me say it again. Satan is looking to take unfair advantage of your situation. He'll catch you in a time of transition and tell you, see, it doesn't work. You might as well give up now. And he will use things against you that when you were strong, he'd never use against you. But when he catches you in a weakness, he starts taking unfair advantage of you. The Bible says Satan is like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I've seen a few clips of